Hello. Welcome back to the Cornerstone Baptist Church Leeds podcast, Discipleship in Challenging Times. We continue today to look at verses in Mark chapter 8, and we will flow through into Mark chapter 9. These are verses that I believe are absolutely foundational to the life of discipleship. May God encourage us and challenge us today. We begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that you call us to follow your Son, the Lord Jesus, wherever he leads. Thank you for the grace that you pour into our lives. Thank you for the comfort that you give and the security that you give, the assurance of your love. But Lord, we recognize also that from this place of security, you launch us out on a wonderful adventure of faith, one that is invigorating, challenging, one that is stretching and wonderful. Today especially, as we think about a real sharp challenge to our faith, we pray that we would hear your word and respond to it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so the reading today begins in Mark chapter 8. Peter has just made the good confession that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Messiah, he is the one who will save his people. Jesus says, "Don't tell anyone about this." And then he says this. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "If anyone would come after me, they must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can someone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with his holy angels." Here we read about what theologian Peter Teith Forsyth spoke of as the cruciality of the cross. There's been this revelation that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Christ, as Matthew's Gospel puts it, the Son of the living God. But on its own, vital as that is, it's not enough. The disciples need to learn, need to understand that Jesus is going to be the crucified God. He is Messiah, he is Saviour. But he is going to win his great victory, not at the point of a sword, but as the points of the nails are driven into his hands and feet. The reason that at the moment the disciples are not to tell people that Jesus is the Christ is that they and others must understand that Messiah will be crucified. He's not going to be a warlike warrior king. He's not going to boot out the hated Romans by force. He is going to establish a different kingdom, an eternal kingdom, one that is solid and real and lasting, a kingdom of grace and of love and of glory. First of all, there is much encouragement for us to receive as Jesus speaks about the cross. Because in the cross, God has embraced us. There's a story of a young girl who was travelling on a plane on her own. And she got airsick, and she was sick, and it went all down her front. The stewards did their best to clean it up. But as she came into land, she was sick again, and there was really very little that she could do. Her father was waiting to greet her, wearing a white suit. And he saw her coming towards her, with sick and mess all down her front, dirty and tear-stained. He had opened his arms wide to embrace her. But when he saw her, and when he smelt her, he thought of his white suit, and for a moment he drew back. But then he realized, this is my daughter, this is my child. And he opened his arms wide again, and he embraced her to himself, all the mess and the filth and the dirt. The wonderful gospel message, the message of Mark 8, is that in Jesus, God has opened his arms wide to us, and he has embraced us, and he has not hesitated. Receive that today. Know that you are deeply, deeply loved by God, and that in the cross, Jesus embraces you. Whatever you've done, whatever your mess is in the past or the present, whatever your shame, whatever you have done, Jesus loves you and he embraces you. That's the encouragement. But of course, here there is great challenge to follow him. Jesus died for us on the cross, and he calls us to take up our cross daily and follow him. Notice this is not an optional extra for the particularly keen or committed. Jesus calls not only his close band of disciples, but also the whole crowd. And he says, if anyone wants to come after me, they must take up their cross and follow. Jesus doesn't offer us discipleship light. He forgives us, he cleanses us, he welcomes us with a radical welcome, with a warm embrace, and then he sends us out into the world to live cross-shaped lives for him, loving and serving the vulnerable. What does it mean to carry our cross day by day? Well, we can't escape the fact that it's an image of suffering. And as you suffer, perhaps as you serve in a frontline ministry today, as a healthcare worker, as a teacher, as someone who is delivering food, whatever that ministry might be, as you go the way of the cross, God is with you. But it may be that you're suffering in other ways. May God be with you as you walk with him today. But there is something about the cross that is even more profound than this. And I think one of the things that takes us to the heart of this is to understand that we lose our rights as we follow Jesus. the condemned criminal, as they were walking to the place of execution, when they had the crossbeam heaved over their shoulders, they would lose their rights. And there is something about carrying the cross that we have lost our rights. We have given them to Jesus. It's so vital that we are absolutely clear that Jesus is a gracious and loving Lord, and we're not giving up our rights to someone who will hurt or harm us, who will lead us in the wrong direction. Nevertheless, the heart of discipleship is that it's Jesus first. It's not me, myself, I in the middle. It's Jesus in the centre. When we own him as Lord, he says, I love you, and I want to take control, and I want to lead you forward. That can be a scary thing, particularly in these days when maybe we thought, well, in the West, we are in control, and coronavirus comes along and we recognize that we aren't. We like to be in control. But Jesus still calls us to put him at the center and to take up our cross and follow him. My daughter recently learned to drive, and we weren't able to go out with her when she was driving. She had all her lessons with an instructor until she passed. And the first time that she drove with me sitting in the passenger seat was a scary thing. My knuckles were a bit white. I was worried about what was going to happen. I wasn't in control. But then I noticed that she was actually a really, really good driver. And she was very safe. And she was doing some things which challenged me. I noticed that before she signalled, she always looked in the rear view mirror. I noticed that when she came off a roundabout, she always indicated every time, even when she was going straight on. I remember thinking, isn't that strange? But of course, it's absolutely right. I ought to reassure you that I am, in actual fact, a reasonably careful driver. But I noticed when I wasn't in control that I was being led in good ways and in good directions. In these days when we feel out of control, let's commit again today to take up our cross and follow Jesus, to lose our rights, to give them up to our wonderful Lord, and to see in the days ahead where he leads us. As is becoming our pattern, a moment of quiet and reflection as we reflect on how God has spoken to us today. And then I will lead us in a spoken prayer. Father, we thank you that in your Son, the Lord Jesus, you have embraced us. We ask you how much you love us, and you point to Jesus, and you say this much, as Jesus spreads his arms wide to die on the cross for us. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the victory over sin that it was. And we thank you that you have embraced us. All our sin and shame, all our compromise and half-heartedness. Thank you that you couldn't love us any more, and that every drop of blood and every bead of sweat that fell from the cross had our names written on them. And so, Lord, we receive your love. And we ask that you would help us to also receive your challenge today. Help us to take up our cross and follow your Son, the Lord Jesus. In particular, we want to say to you again this morning, you are in control. As far as coronavirus is concerned, we believe that you remain sovereign over all. Lord, you are not to blame for what is happening, but ultimately you can and are working through it. Lord, you're in control. Be in control of our lives as well. Lead us forward. Show us what's on your heart, what you want us to do, and help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.